good evening. Well, good morning. Good evening. It's now the midnight hour, and we're at the end of one day and the beginning of the next. So it's the witching hour, some say, and Wilson Pickett said it's the midnight hour, and we've been celebrating it forever. And here in the Marshaverse, this is where we get together to chill, to have once a week, we have some cannabis and cognac, and then see what happens. Tonight's cannabis and cognac is, we're going to have a church battery with a provisions cart on it. Provisions is the brand, and it's a nice sativa. It's a Jack Herrera. And I don't know exactly who Jack was, but thanks, Jack. And we got Henny. This is the first time we've had the official cognac of Black people, Hennessy. This is a VSOP. And I don't know how many people know that Hennessy supported the Black troops in World War II. And so it became the preferred brand when they came back home. And there's been a relationship ever since. And so tonight, we honor that tradition. There you go. We have a nice little tulip glass and a little gluck, gluck, gluck. Gluck, 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 gluck. Okay, that's enough gluck. And we will. You look at the legs. Alas, it clings to the glass. It smells like whiskey. The brown liquor of the upper ghetto. Okay. Now, here, let me have. I'm a lot funnier when I've been medicated properly. You know, since marijuana became legal, when I got my medical card, I asked the provider who was the typical applicant. And she said, you. She said, most of the people applying are women in their 50s, 60s and up. And so there's a huge community of old potheads who don't really want to let everybody know, like the lady that did the TikTok who said, you could cut off my leg, don't take my weed. And her son was trying to explain to her, they're not going to take your leg, your weed, you're in here for knee surgery. And she said, I don't care, just don't take my weed. I understand her. And so I'm inviting all of the senior closeted tokers who just want to relax and find themselves up late at night because we like to putter and dodder. Just join us. And you don't have to be old. You don't have to indulge in any of these libations. But if you choose to and it's legal, here you go. So here you go. Okay, that ought to do me. Ain't no puff puff pass around here. We don't share anymore. We do what we do, and then we get it done. Okay, so now we are going to talk about why we're here. And why we're here is about the stories, and we relax and tell the stories. And we examine the elements of the Marshaverse. And one of them, the reason why I founded it is because everything we know is a lie. Because everything we know, we learn from a story. And stories are inherently lies because they are never the event that they're describing. They are always what someone said they saw or said they thought. And so you have to understand that there's a bit of embellishment in just about every story. And so we find ourselves being indoctrinated with different thoughts. We talked about last week about Sapphire and how she's been, the Black women have been depicted in films. We've talked about other elements of storytelling and how that's the most powerful thing we have. But tonight, we're going to talk about the comediosophy of storytelling. Comediosophy is the doctrine of shit that makes us laugh. And so one of the elements that intrigued me is that media has often been the propaganda arm of white supremacy. But white supremacy has many propaganda arms, and one of them is religion. Why is Jesus always depicted as white?
White people, we need to talk. Today's topic, white Jesus. Now, I know it's hard being white nowadays. Everybody picking on y'all now that we learned to read. But I'm gonna be honest, I admire you guys. Y'all got game. Y'all painted Jesus white and got away with it. Y'all got people all over the world believing with all their hearts that 2,000 years ago or more, there was a tall, blonde, blue-eyed white man running around in the Middle East starting shit and trying to tell everybody what to do. Y'all done John Wayne Jesus. And then, in y'all's story, when everybody got sick of him and decided that they was going to get rid of him, y'all said it was a hit and that it was taken out by his father for me. Which means I'm supposed to bow down to you because you got to end with Jesus. If that ain't gangster, ain't no such thing. Most cultures worship gods who look like them. But y'all went to the four corners of the earth telling people they had to worship white-faced Jesus. And when you wasn't doing that, you was at home making people stop worshiping their religion and worship your version at gunpoint or the end of a rope or the sear of a lash or a weaponized penis. Now, the country that was founded by people running away from religious persecution wants to have white Jesus enshrined by law. But some of us prefer to worship gods who look like us. Gods who create life in her image. Male and female makes she them. She brings life from spirit to flesh, umbilically connected and washed in her blood. She who created us, she who is us, Jesus. So let us worship the innate regality of uncrowned queens.
Why is Jesus a white man? Why do we worship white men? When you worship a white man, that makes white men God. it automatically makes them superior. It automatically elevates them to being the representatives of the one true God here on earth. And so we have this image of Jesus Christ superstar, you know, the easy rocker, the Billy Jack of gods. And he is who we think of when we think of God. Now, why? People say, well, that's how he was depicted in the when the King James version was written, and Michelangelo and all those people painted all those pictures, and that's fine. I'll grant you that. In those 600 intervening years, y'all never had the thought, well, maybe we ought to change this? Nobody in all of the people who get together all the time and talk about religion and salvation, and they never said, you know, maybe it would be more inclusive if our representative looked more like other people or everybody or anybody. But we never had that conversation. We've never had that thought in the national discussion. Why? There's a reason why Christianity has a white male spokesmodel. It's the same reason pancakes had the image of a large black maternal woman. It evokes things immediately that make people do things or have feelings. And so when you see the leader of the universe, the world, the everything is a white man, you're automatically inferior. So it's not about the theology, which I don't really get into. I am a theologian, and I believe that women give life and should be honored and worshiped. But we have to start thinking about why we have the images we have, and we have to be able to talk about them and make jokes about them like I do. Show them.
You gotta admire white people. I don't care what all your shit, you know, we can talk and fuss, but you gotta, y'all are gangster as fuck. You are, y'all painted Jesus white. That's some gangster shit right there. No, fuck, I like your God. He's just the wrong shade. We're going to take him and make him look like us. And it worked. Y'all got people all over the world fervently believing that over 2,000 years ago, there was a blind, blue-eyed white man. Traipsing around in the Middle East. Fuck it with people.
So that's my two cents for the night as far as the comediosophy of the Marshaverse, which we will get into more and more because, like I said, when everything you know is a lie, you need to talk about everything because you've been told things that, again, make you feel a certain way. You hear about George Washington chopping a cherry tree and riding across the river on a boat like, you know, a conquering hero, and that's how you think of him. You don't think of him being a slave owner. You don't think of him being someone who overthrew a government to institute another one. when you start thinking about these kind of things, just, you're not as easy to put into little boxes that people figured that you can be manipulated by the ones you were born into. Like somebody like me, a 70-year-old lesbian who was born into a 1950s straight patriarchal world. It's a lot of bullshit in growing up. And so we have to be willing and able to talk about it. And it really takes somebody with a sapphire spirit, which is that angry Black woman spirit people like to put down and can apparently has the power, like Samantha on Bewitched, to just make magic and have people tremble in fear. Oh no, she looked at me sternly. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we'll get into this more and more as we go along. But right now, I think it's time to tell you who this show is brought to you by. And that is, of course, Aunt Karen's Jane Crow Fricassee Casserole in a Can. Just add crackers. You want the finer things in life. You're entitled. But you're on a budget. And who has time to slave over a hot stove? Well, don't despair. Aunt Karen's here with her collection of other people's recipes simplified and adapted to her lack of taste. You can have lunch or dinner on the table in no time. Just place your can of casserole in an oven-safe glass loaf pan. Fill with water and boil in the oven on 375 until heated. Be sure to serve with Aunt Karen's delicious frozen biscuit pucks and a pitcher of suburban cocktails made with Aunt Karen's own dehydrated drink mix. Thank you so much, Aunt Karen. We can count on you to make meals so good that you might have to call the police on yourself. Okay. Thank you, Aunt Karen. Now, is it time to bring my friends along? And so let me introduce my guests for the evening. They're not guests, they're my family. But one of my family members that we know and love so much can't be with us tonight. And so I ain't going to introduce him. We're going to introduce the son who is here. The son of mine, my oldest son. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to Stephen Roberts. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hello. Hello, yeah. Marcia. So good to see you again.
Hello, begotten dude. What a surprise.
I'm so glad to see you. I just thought I'd clear you up on a few things. Okay. Ask me anything you want. Seems like you have a lot of questions. Go ahead. Ask me anything you want.
I was wondering, has anyone ever told you you look a lot like Kenny Loggins?
You know what? That's a new one. Most people call me Doug Henning.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Anyway, geez, can I call you?
Oh, you can call me Geez or Sus. A lot of people call me Sus these days.
Yeah, well, Geez works. Even though there's a certain rapper who might get a little testy.
Fair enough.
But Geez, what brings you by?
You know, I just wanted everybody to understand that this gig that I did about 2,000 years ago was supposed to be, I'm just a temp, you know? And he asked me, the guy up there, he said, hey, I've got a gig for you. Why don't you go down there and take all these people with you? And I tried, but, you know, it didn't work out so well for me, and I'm a little bitter about it.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to take that one up with a higher authority.
You know, I talk to her all the time and she just tells me to get a life. I don't understand.
Well, she might just give you a guitar and tell you to sing, "Take It Easy."
I don't know if that's Everybody. Kenny Loggins' song, but I'll go with it.
I don't think it matters in the realm.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Fair
enough. Anyway, thanks so much for dropping by. I was shocked. I'm so glad that you're here to dispel all the rumors.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much. And that question you had the other night in your prayers, the answer is no.
Oh, yeah, I expected that.
Okay.
All right, you take care now.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Great to see you.
It's so nice when Jesus drops by. There's a danger when you do these shows and you smoke weed. Sometimes you forget where you are. Well, I know where I am. I'm in the Marshaverse. But, we were introducing our guests. Okay, and we met Stephen as Jesus, as he likes to do on the weekends. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, you look so nice.
Oh, thank you. And,
thanks. Just now. That was quick. Anyway, and we have a new person. Yay!
Yay!
Another woman. Yay! We have somebody, you know, some estrogen at this party in this sausage fest. And so I want to introduce our new producer. Ooh, if it's not good, blame her. Anyway, our new producer, an old friend, and a new MFA, you better go. Please say hello to my friend, Earlene Gray. Earlene, hi.
Hey, hi.
Hi, gorgeous. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, Marsha. I'm good. Just laughing already. I think you're so funny.
Thank
and so
you.
Is Stephen. And thank
yes,
you.
Yes, Stephen. And he's the best Jesus we've seen tonight.
Thank you.
Anyway. Next is our former voice of God, but as God decided that he wanted to be on camera more and not just heard from the booth. And so he is my other son. He's a miracle. He was born when I was 9. Anyway, but please... Welcome the guy who does all these graphics and all this stuff. Please welcome. Say hello to Breeze Vincennes.
What's up, people?
Hey. Hi. How you doing?
Putting the juice away.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You want to hide your juice.
Here we go.
You're from Chicago too, correct?
Born and raised in Chicago. Ida B. Wells Projects, which no longer exist anymore.
But Ida B. Wells legacy lingers on. I think this is a nice moment to talk about Ida B. Wells, who made a career out of campaigning against lynchings and unfair treatment of Black men in the judicial system and fought back against the Jim Crow legislation and was an outspoken activist. And quite a remarkable woman. And so it's interesting that the first, one of the first housing projects in Chicago, at least, to address the growing great migration happening was named after her. Interesting how it turned out. But it's also interesting that it seems like they had the best intentions. You know what I mean? That they tributed a worthy person.
Yeah, it was the best intentions and I'm going to say one of the worst outcomes because we screwed it up. But I always appreciated Ida B. Wells Projects. I love it. It's not there anymore, but any listeners who is there from Ida B. Wells, big ups. we are a rare breed as Ida B. Wells people, let me tell you.
Erlene's from Chicago too, right?
I am. I was born in Chicago.
Absolutely. Did not know. What part?
You know, I'm going to say the West Side, but I couldn't tell you. But I'm going to say the West Side. My parents divorced when I was two. So we ended up moving to, my mother and I moved to Ohio, Dayton. And, but I would go back to Chicago every summer. So I still have Chicago, you know, running through my veins.
Chicago was your down south?
Yes, it was my
down south. People from Chicago sent their kids down south in the summer for vacation.
Yes.
Quite often.
I thought that was just me. Did they send you down south?
No.
Well, no, we didn't have family down south, but everybody else went down south in the summer.
Where'd you go, Marsha?
I didn't go anywhere. I was in Chicago the whole time.
Okay.
But other family members and all the, you know, kids I played with and stuff, they all went down south during the summer.
Georgia, went to Georgia. I thought it was just me. I thought it was just me.
Georgia. Because it's a Chicago thing. No, they wanted you to meet your family, you know, that was still there and get to know who you are. So just about everybody I knew went back down south in the summertime.
You know, I say I don't believe, of course, that Jesus was, you know, was white, blonde hair. But I am a Christian. I am, you know, I'm that Baptist girl, grew up in church. I definitely believe he should be a couple shades darker, in even if it's the Jewish color. And the reason I say Jewish colors, my best friend is from, she's Yemenite. She's from Tel Aviv, Israel, and she's darker, you know, so... but I am a Christ believing Baptist girl.
What does Jesus look like? I know you said a little darker, but in your perception,
I would say probably, you know, like I said, just a little darker, probably dark hair, probably curlier hair. But of course, like you said, we don't get a different depiction. We have pretty much one depiction of what that looks like.
Right. Okay. All right, Breeze. Way in here.
Well, I am a Kabbalist. grew up Roman Catholic, and then I came to LA, and as any other screenwriting LA person does, they study Kabbalah. And from my understanding of Kabbalah, this is the way I interpret it. And I think of it as in food terms. So Kabbalah is more like the physical study of an apple. Like if you cut the apple, this is what it does. If you put it in oil, this is what it does. It's actually the physics of the apple. And religion are more like recipes. So religion is more like, oh, if the apple does this, we're going to add this to it, and that's going to be Catholicism. We put the apple and do this, that's going to be Islam. So I sort of focus on like the basic building blocks of religion, which works for me better because the religion usually gets caught up in dogma, and I always get caught up in the flux in one way or another. And so I'd rather go to the original text. And I have always said from the beginning, I have said this forever, that God, to me, when I think of God, the image I come up with is Cicely Tyson. I've always said this. And Jesus was Erykah Badu, first album.
Okay. All right. Well, that second part really bodes well for everybody who's not named Tyrone.
Very much so. That's a point.
You know, that's a whole new mark that we didn't know, you know, to look for.
Well, but that's what us Kabbalists call Satan. Tyrone would be Satan. Okay. Helps us identify to be a better person.
Well, in the religion of the Church of Jesus, we have say what? And that's about it. Anyway. It's time now, and I just want to say thank you all so much because for a minute, I was thinking that, you know, maybe some of my ideas were pretty out there, you know, and strange. And now I feel much, much better.
Hi, have we met? Hi.
It's time for the question of the box. Here's a box. It has a lot of cards with questions. I took the cards out the box. I'm cutting the cards. And I will ask this question that I have never seen until now. What food or song always brings back good memories?
Well, that's easy. The song that always puts me in a good mood is Sing a Song. Sing a song.
Oh, that one. Okay.
It's simple to last your whole life long.
Don't worry that it's not good enough
for anyone else to see. Just sing.
La 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 la. Sing a song.
Who you sang know, that, by the way? Who sang that?
The Carpenters were one of them.
That's what. Okay. That's why I think I remember it.
But I remember.
I love Karen Carpenter. I think she was a, from what I know about drumming, she was a pretty doggone good drummer, mm-hmm. And a singer. I loved her voice, and I still listen to her music. It was just a different kind of time, and I know people think it's kind of cheesy now,
but who still cares what they say?
Exactly. But it puts you right in a certain mood. It puts you right back in a certain time, back to when you could do like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of being. It reminds me of being in the back seat of my mother's Datsun when we were driving over the mountain from doctor's appointments when I was a little kid. And that would come on the radio and we would sing it together. And as we were going over the mountain to the other side of town, there were poppies, all like wild poppies that were all at the base of the mountain. And it was just wonderful. I just have great memories. I think I was probably two. Hmm.
This would be like a great Eagle song.
Poppies under the mountain.
Driving in the back of my
Can you really get Datsun as a good lyric in any song? I don't think Datsun.
Yeah, but I mean, it fits. It takes you right back to, because I don't think I've ever imagined that anyone would ever say that in conversation, let alone. So I think it's worthy of consideration.
Thank you.
It was a nice, you know, a very nice, easy listening kind of story.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Who's next?
Better than a food. I couldn't come up with a damn food. So,
Earlene?
I am going to say I Am Every Woman by Whitney Houston, the Whitney Houston version. I absolutely love that song. It's a theme song, but I don't care if you're down, you're asleep, whatever. You're going to get up. You're going to move to that song. It's the best. And then, of course, my second, I'm always cheating. My second would be anything Aretha Franklin, because that's how I, you know, clean up my house on Saturdays. You know, I have my kids coming through, they're cleaning up. So it's like, you need to know Aretha Franklin, you know?
Okay. Well, that reminds me of the Steely Dan lyric. Hey, 19, that's Aretha Franklin. She yes. don't remember the Queen of Soul. We can't dance together. Right. We can't talk at all. So I understand it. There's so many songs that put me in a good mood, but there's one song, and it might sound a little weird, I don't know, but every time you put it on, I have to sing and dance, and that's the one that starts, "Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina." let Big get in between you. And I just have to start dancing when I hear that song. Okay.
What? I'm sorry. What?
What?
Who sings this song?
Total.
Oh, okay.
It's called Can't You See? Play that. You can't play that, but I wish you could.
Give me all the chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Hold on. I'm looking it up right now. Nuh-uh.
Let Big get in between you.
That's hilarious.
There's no way.
Bet Big get in between you, then see you. Hold on.
Verifiable proof.
Peep the prognosis doses, bleeds and bends me like Twizzlers. Big is fitting to hurt what's under that skirt. This, what memory do you have when this comes up?
You haven't heard the beat.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you hear the beat, it's a more comprehensive experience.
You have to hear the beat.
What gives you a good memory or feeling? So I get the feeling. I understand the feeling. Did you have a memory that goes along?
First of all, it samples the Big Payback. That song samples the Big Payback, but it slow drags it and takes that beat. And it's soon as you hear it, it's like Atomic Dog. As soon as you hear that bow out, you're going to start moving. And that's another one you'd probably not familiar with.
I'm going to be familiar with it before the night is over.
The Atomic Dog or Juicy Fruit. I mean, you know, you're just going to have to dance. And in the 60s, if somebody put on Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell, Your Precious Love, everybody danced.
Yeah, yeah.
It was those beats, those hooks grab you before they say a word. So, what songs affect you like that, Steve?
Well, I am also going to go with a classic that everyone has heard of, and I was just listening to it. Closer to Fun by the Indigo Girls. Who's with me? Who's with me?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I don't think that we should let Julian Assange back into the United States with no jail time. I feel like since you wanted to leave, stay gone. Just stay gone. Or if we're bringing you back, face the consequences. Why do you get to give information but have no consequences, being that you've lived all over the world, technically, you know, you've traveled. So I think you should stay gone. I don't think that we should give a deal for you to come back after you've given up secrets.
Okay.
You've got a minute and a half. Keep going.
Anything else bothering you? You want to rant about? I can't believe that's the only thing that.
Right now, that's the top of my mind. Just the whole
Julian. How about tipping?
I'm sorry?
Tipping.
Tipping. Every restaurant, ice cream parlor, smoothie shop, donut shop believes that you should give them a tip now. And I'm like, you're just doing your regular job. Now, I do believe that people should be tipped, but I don't think that every single person who walks into Krispy Kreme's and buys a donut, I need to give you 20%. And then when I walk into Baskin Robbins, I need to give you 20%. And if I go to Panda Express, I need to give you, you know, 18 or 22% plus. I'm like, I want to sit down and I want to have an experience. I want you to bring my food or bring my drink to me, and you deserve a tip because you do your job. That's the owner's job to make sure that you're paid. That's not my job to tip every single person. I that's my opinion.
Fees.
And that's your time. That's 2 minutes. Good job.
Them fees they add on too that are over and above the tip. that you. I saw a TikTok of a guy who said, "You want to tip your landlord," and he's serious. He believes that if you want to tip your landlord, you should just add it into your monthly payment and give them a tip. And what's funny about it is a guy who do edit it and who is going, "Are you out of your mind? Ain't nobody tipping no landlord." But he seems to be serious, the dude who says, you could tip your landlord too.
What's the purpose?
Giving the landlord more money.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, for what service? You know, generally there's a service to be had. What service am I tipping you for?
Being a landlord. He says you tip a waiter, so you might as well tip your landlord.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah. The waiter comes and takes my order, refills my water, brings my food, you know, has, you know, may have a conversation with me. We see the waiter going back and forth on their feet. They're away from their family. They're working hard. They need a tip. My landlord, or, you know, a landlord, I should say, nah, I don't agree.
Well, no. I don't agree with a tip jar at the Office Max. Why is there a tip jar at the Office Max? Why is there a tip jar at places that aren't even involved with food? Why are there tip jar? Everybody has a tip jar now, and they're all trying to make a little extra money because they're not getting paid enough in the first place. And by the way, there's a whole movement of certain restaurants who put on their menu, "Do not tip our staff. This is a non-tipping restaurant. We pay our staff enough," you know, and they get paid what they should get paid. Of course, these are more expensive restaurants, but the whole idea of tipping is an American thing. You don't tip in Europe.
At McDonald's, we tip everywhere. We tip, you know, you get a cup of coffee, we're expected to tip everywhere you go. And that, as a you know, consumer, is okay, that's a bit much. But if you put yourself in the shoes of the workers, we rely on this. We, you know, this is what makes the job worth doing, because this is what pays us. So how do you reconcile that as a consumer, you know?
Well, I think that servers in restaurants, actual servers, that is for sure, because their wage is about $2 and some odd cents per hour, and they earn a wage with the tips. That's true for them. But Starbucks pays a regular salary or a regular hourly wage, and so does Office Max, and they put the thing there, and whatever they get, they split up. It's not enough to do a whole lot, but it is money out of our pockets. And now they have on the screen where you tap your card, they have would you like 18, 20, or 22%? I think 15 is in there too. And then they're like, that's going to ask you some questions. And you're like, it's going to ask me for if I want to tip it. And of course, I'm like, am I cheap if I put 15 or no tip?
I've seen on like DoorDash, and not just DoorDash, but the food delivery kind of things, up to 30%.
Yeah, oh my goodness. 30%.
It's like 30%. Have you lost your mind?
Well, what, and there's just
double what I'm going to pay for this meal and give it to you guys? Just because you asked for it?
Should we tip a Lyft driver, an Uber driver? Should we tip them? I believe that tipping is for those particular services are for somebody who went the extra mile or did something extra. For instance, the airport shuttle guy who lifts everybody's bags, puts everybody's bags in the thing. And that's a lot of lifting, and I had an extra heavy bag. You know, I'm going to tip that bus driver because he's not only driving, but he's lifting my heavy bags.
Right.
Fine. I'll give him that. I'll give him. But then how much should I tip him? You know?
What's it worth to you?
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
But I have a 2-minute rant.
Okay, good. Mine's next.
On this thing for more than 2 minutes. Are we ready for this epic rant?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm going to time you.
All right. Right turn on red. This is the worst law ever instituted and foisted upon human drivers. Right turn on red. There's every time you go to make that turn, first of all, if I'm going forward, you can't just make a turn in front of me because it's a red light. You're supposed to wait until, but they jump in front of you, and there's so many near misses with pedestrians and people get hurt. I just think you can't wait until traffic clears or do like we used to do in Chicago, kind of nudge people out of the way slowly when they're in the intersection and start hollering out the window. You got bumpers on so that they would move. But I just think right turn on red is not worth the extra minutes, moments we might save waiting for traffic to clear. It really bugs me, unless I'm turning right. And then I have the utmost right to turn as soon as I see an inch of space. I can just turn. Hey, you'd have to wait. You saw me. And so this is mainly why I think it's such a bad law, because my human nature supersedes it unless there's a restriction that says don't do that. Okay, that's my rant.
You have 20 more seconds. I would like to add to your rant really quickly. Okay. And that is people who are in the right lane that can turn right and decide to go straight, get the hell out of that lane. That's for people who are turning right.
Well, yeah,
get the hell out of there.
Well, no, it's for me. I want to go because when I get across the light, I'm going to make that first turn. So I want.
Yeah, that's for you. You can do that, but get the fuck out of the way. I yesterday had a near-death experience, and I'm not kidding. I was in a parking garage. I had parked my car, and I was walking down the parking lot, and Karen, in her white Fiat, came around the corner. She had to be going 30 miles an hour, came around, and she was coming around and then turning left in my path, and she saw, we locked eyes, and she saw me. And by the way, it wasn't a Fiat, it was a Ford Focus. She turned around, she looked at me, and she's like, ah, like one half, I can't believe somebody's walking in a parking garage, and another half, oh, I didn't see you. And she came, I could feel the car. I jumped wow. back out of my shoes, and she ran over my shoes.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And wow. she kept going. And she was like, ah, like, you're in my way. And she kept going. She never stopped. Ran over my, I couldn't, this woman, look, first of all, it says 5 miles per hour for a reason.
Boy, parking garage.
Yeah, it's a parking garage. Second of all, if I almost hit you, you better believe I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop and find out if you're okay. And this woman did neither of those things. And I said the B word, which I don't like to say for real to somebody, but I did. I was so mad. And that is my 5 or 2 minute rant. Yeah, I'm out of time.
Okay. All right.
But I'm here with you today because of White Jesus.
I'm glad that you were protected and held safe from obviously an evil spirit. And now that we're here and in the twilight of the daylight of the approaching dawn, sometimes I like to wax poetic. Now that we're at this point in the show, ask me anything. If you have questions, just because we know each other doesn't mean that you might not have questions that I have yet to address. So, anything you want to know, go for it. Steven, this was your idea. Let's have at it.
Okay. Would you consider being in a throuple?
With you?
No.
Because that would be weird.
That would be really weird. I would be very bad in bed with you. That would not be good.
I'm throwing up a little in my mouth, man.
I think we've all concluded that already.
No, you would be a dissatisfied customer.
That was why I wanted to clear up the question, so there'd be no misunderstanding.
Perfect.
Thruple, would I? I am a married woman. I am happily married, and I would love to stay that way. So I take the fifth.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, what do you think of thruples?
You're not going to get me into this part of the pool. I'm not jumping in, okay?
Okay, what do you think of quadruples? What do you think of quadruples?
You know, when you're having a party, the more the merrier. So as long as there's enough food to go around. I say, right. What the hey. But that you have to understand, I came of age in the 70s, the free love generation, when America just threw off its corsets and shoulds and went totally bananas. To the Woodstock hate Ashbury free love the hippie thing, so that's where we get porn from. Where porn used to be something that was shown on 8mm projectors, if you had one in a basement, and one little thing you got from a trip to Mexico or something. I don't know. People would have these things locked away, and when they had parties, they would bring them out and show them, and everybody, and Masters and Johnson and people were having orgies and key parties, and the suburbs were just loading with sex. And so it was a whole different time, and that whole concept of coupling, thrupling, quadrupling, hey, it's your thing, do what you want to do, was prevalent as I became a young woman. So I don't have an automatic, oh, that's terrible kind of thing. What are you talking about? I have nothing like that. If I was a single woman, we'd be having a different conversation.
fair enough.
Okay, let's go down the list. Breeze.
My question, Marcia, is, and I'm not going to name names, but since working with you, I have seen like so many you in interviews. I want to get on the stage. And it seems like, without naming the names, it seems like some of the interviewers are, how should I say, like idiots, or just they just seem like rude, or just, and it's one in particular. I'm not going to name any names, but I remember at one point it seems like the interviewer ran out of questions and just looked at you and been like, "So black people like you, huh?" And I think you know who I'm talking about, but yeah. I don't want to name any names. Because I don't want to like get into the names. But I guess the question is, and then recently, I know that you've done some interviews with people who I personally do not care for, And I've noticed how, and I don't know if you care for him or not, but I've noticed that every single time you have responded with like intelligence and companion, like friendly, like it seemed like there's no attitude about it. And so I guess the question is, I guess it's a stupid question, but I'll ask anyway. Are there people who interview you who you truly don't care for? or they ask you a stupid question. Like, I just want to know, how do you navigate that? How do you navigate your personal feelings with that? Because I remember there's this one interviewer, again, I've seen so many of your interviews, when somebody was like, did you know Richard Pryor? Do you remember that one?
There have been all kind of interviews, you know, but people can ask whatever they want, and they can ask it any way they want, and I can answer any way I want and say whatever I want. And so I'm rarely thrown by a question to the point that it really matters. You know, when I was doing EC Cab, and I had never had that big a role in a film, and, you know, it was a real film, you know, and Joel Schumacher was directing, and it was a big deal. So I wanted to get it right, and I don't know, you know, I never took an acting class or anything like that. So I go to Joel and I ask him, you know, what am I bringing the right thing to the role and the thing? And he looked at me, he's a tall man, he looked down at me and he said, you know what I think your problem is? He said, you're taking this seriously. There's nothing we do here is serious. And he walked away. What the fuck? And I stopped worrying, or to as much an extent as I could, about process and all that kind of stuff, and went back to what somebody told me a long time ago, who said, if you want to act, why don't you just do what kids do? What do you mean? They ask a little kid, tell two little kids, you know, you be the doctor and you be the teacher. And they won't go, well, I don't understand. Am I in the classroom or is this in the, whatever? They go, all right, you know, sit down and don't move, Bobby, and whatever. And they go right into it. So it's not so much on the interviewer, as far as I'm concerned. It's what I choose to answer, you know, how I choose to respond to it. And if it ever becomes a thing like, you know, that's a loaded question or whatever, because I did one just recently, and they were asking me questions. And the first one, I was like, you just asked a whole encyclopedia full of questions in one question. I'm gonna pick one and answer that. But you know, so, and I didn't mean anything negative or wrong, but it was a whole lot of info. So when you were coming up in school, and it was the such and such and such an era and blah blah blah, and so, and the women's movement was coming along, how did you feel being a young, and I'm like, that's a whole book worth of questions.
And then they asked you if you were in a throuple.
And what do you think about throuples?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I really, what's really concerns me about throuple is, as I sit here, I really can't decide whether they're one P or two.
Throuple?
Yeah. They all pee. They share the bathroom.
Okay. But anyway, that was fun. Well, on that note, I have to say goodnight. When the throuple has peed, it's time to go. And I think we need to write that down in the book of Marcia, is under fantasies. This is the old shirt. But we're going to have new shirts, new Book of Marcia shirts, and we're going to have that merchandise available as soon as you can. What are you laughing at, please?
See?
Thank you so much. Jesus. I feel so much better when you're here.
Jesus has become Abraham Lincoln.
Well, Jesus Lincoln, it fits. It goes down from Adam, and as you go down the line, you get to Lincoln. Anyway, I looked that up on Ancestry. Ancestry and me, or whatever it is. Oh, and so this show, we're getting started, we're building it up, and we would love to hear how you feel about it. If you have comments, questions, or anything, let us know. You can find us all over the Marshaverse on YouTube. You can find us on my Facebook page as. You'll be able to find us on, you can't find the whole thing on Instagram, but you can get to us from Instagram. You can find us everywhere and on my website on www.marshawarfield.com and www.marshaverse.com. Mm. So you can find this show, tell your friends, leave a comment. Hopefully we can get better. If you have suggestions, if you know of a really good strain of weed or a really good cognac that most people ain't up on, let me know about that. If you have any comment about anything you've heard tonight, let us know. Try to keep it friendly, but we'd like to hear from you. And so next week, we will be talking about some more stuff. And hopefully, my youngest son will be back. And we will just have a whole party. This will be like the cookout by itself. We're going to have a midnight cookout where Stephen is invited. Because you can't have a cookout without Jesus. So
we tried, it just don't work.
It just don't work. You got to have
Jesus.
That.
White Jesus will bring the fish and the loaves.
Yes, no, but just don't bring the potato salad.
Fair enough.
No, don't do that. No raisins. Nothing with raisins and mayo.
No. Our sponsor uses raisins, so we got
Aunt Karen. Yes, and she uses plump, juicy raisins in a can. Stephen,
yes?
Where will you be next week or in the upcoming days?
Let's see. Next week, I will be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club at the MGM from July 1st to July 4th.
All right, have fun. Tell Brad I said hello.
We'll do.
I will be on the 4th of July weekend. I will be in Philadelphia with George Wallace, and we are going to have four great shows there. If you get a chance, come out and see us. You can find that information on MarshaWarfield.com. You can find it on everywhere but the Marshaverse. And we'll be here kind of trying to conjure up good vibes and good times and easing into a new day, but you can watch anytime you want that midnight feeling and with your auntie, come on, and her friend, come on back, and you know, tell your mama too. Thank you so much for watching us, and we will see you again hopefully real soon. Good night.
Later.
She got a way no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down. now she gets back up again.